Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be back with us a couple of more segments later in the proceedings. Chrisello, Matt Scraby right now in our Odyssey Palace studios. Padres will not be in a palace tonight, Scraby. They'll be in the, what's this thing called up there?
I think it's called Sutter Home Health Park.
Sutter Home sounds... I don't know that that's the name of it, but Sutter Home sounds like a retirement community to me.
Well, Sutter is a big name up there because of the wine.
All right. Well, they will be playing the Athletics tonight with Michael King going up against Luis Severino. The lineups have come out.
It's just Sutter Health Park, by the way.
Sutter Health Park. Thank you. The lineups have come out, and they have caught the attention of many because Jackson Merrill is not in the lineup tonight. Brandon Lockridge is in center field with Jason Hayward playing left. Tony surmised that Jackson could just be taking a scheduled day off. None of us are agreeing with him. All of
this
us think something
Tony
nefarious.
Faces.
All of us think something nefarious is going on here. People are writing in on the chat. Well, I saw him grab his hamstring yesterday. I saw him grab his leg. He pulled up short. He did not come out of the game yesterday. We know this. But I do. I got to agree with those people until we hear further note, you know, from Mike Shildt or whatever. There's an official word. I don't think he did get a day off for the 11th game of the season, and especially when you're Jackson Merrill. I mean, he's 22 years old. 21. He can play forever. And I do. I feel like something tightened up on him or whatever the case may be. Hopefully it's a day or so, and he's back in there. But we will get the official from at least Mike Shildt at 5:05. Sam Levitt will have any further updates on the pregame show. I asked Sammy what his Sammy's outside getting ready for the pregame show. I asked him what his sources were telling him. He said, what sources?
Yeah, like, tight-lipped over there.
He doesn't have any sources. Sammy, come on.
Yeah, he's lying
to us. Get some sources.
He's lying to us, Chris.
You think he knows? He knows why Jackson's not in the lineup and he's not telling us? He's not sharing the information?
I think he doesn't want us to steal his thunder.
Well, we're going to steal it because Mike Shildt's going to say something at 5:05, and that's going to be an hour before Sam gets on
the
air.
That's true. That's true.
One way or another, we're going to steal it. All right. We're going to play some Chris versus the fans here. 833-288-0973. Like a chance. Play a little trivia. You either answer questions correctly or you hope I get them wrong, which does happen. Hasn't been happening lately, I'll say. I've been kind of on a hot streak, but that can change in a moment's notice. If you win Chris vs. the Fans, you'll be qualified. Grand prize, 2 tickets to either Disturbed, Ghost, or Pantera.
Wow.
Does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
Okay. Which would you choose?
I think I may be wrong about this, but did Disturbed have people quit their band recently? I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm going to go Pantera because...
You'd see Pantera?
Yeah, because I love Pantera.
All right. Well, you get to go to one of the three in Las Vegas. You also get a 2-night stay at the MGM Grand. Wow. Nice. $150 gift card. And that'll pay for your fee to the valet guy. And you pull up at the
you
Van
could also
Jam
park
Grand.
Yourself, I guess.
You better park yourself so you can hold on to your $150. Also get tickets for all three shows now, Ticketmaster.com. Let's play.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I just want to say I didn't know what I was talking about with Disturbed, so forget I ever said it. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you'll get that question for free today. Chris already told us the prize. We've already given the rules. Let's get to our first contestant of the day, which will be... Why is this not... Come on. I feel like this only happens during our show, Chris.
It does. All right. And it happens during Chris versus the Fans, unfortunately. You went to the caller and they're not there?
Yeah, I'm going to try this one. Or you can't pick up the call? I'm going to try this one. Christian, are you there?
Hey, how's it going?
Hello, Christian.
Thank you, Christian.
Christian's good. He's ready.
I'm here.
All right, here we go, Christian. Question number one. What bobblehead was given out by the Padres last Monday? I think I've already...
Jackson Merrill.
I got one.
You got one?
I did.
Oh, yeah, you went.
I went to the game. I couldn't get the one here because you stole it.
Well, I reserved it, not stole.
I wonder who stole it.
Seemed like a steal to me.
Reserved it. Question number two. What team did Elias... I don't know how it's pronounced.
Elias.
It's not Elias. It's Elias. I'm just going to say. Right. What team did Elias Diaz start his career with?
Shoot.
That's a tough one.
Was it the... was it the Texans? Or not the Texans. I'm sorry. The Rangers?
Goes with the Rangers.
Stay there.
He was a Pirate before he went to the Rockies.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry about that, Christian.
I play National League only fantasy baseball, so you know I know a lot of those
things. I had no idea.
Yeah, I probably picked him up as a backup, you know, one year.
I had no idea that you knew that one.
Yeah, sorry. Well, right. I thought he did. He could have snuck in before the Pirates, but I didn't think so.
All right, let's go to Casey in Temecula. Casey.
Hey,
hello.
Casey.
Oh, hello.
Hey,
hello.
Welcome to it.
You ready to play?
Whoa. Yeah, I'm a first-time player.
First-time player! I love it!
Player!
Good luck, Casey.
Here we go, Casey. Question number two. Which? That's not a word. Which?
What?
Sorry, I gotta start.
It's a combination of what and which?
Yes, I just created that word.
What?
Which MLB team is featured on the Netflix show about Major League Baseball?
I want to guess Dodgers because everything's about Dodgers now, but I'll go with Red Sox.
Red Sox. All right. Oh,
that was an incredible guess, Casey.
Way to go, Casey.
All right.
First time, what do you call it? Beginner's luck.
Beginner's
or
luck, yeah. Yes.
Good job.
But I do like the answer about the Dodgers because, yes,
I know. Everything's
about the
Dodgers.
All right,
or maybe
Casey.
That was Bannon Woods. I don't know.
What's that? Say that again, Casey?
I think Bannon Woods might have talked about it earlier.
They probably did.
Okay,
yeah.
That might have. All right. Well, either way, it doesn't matter how you know.
You
just
listen
as long
to
as
the
you know.
Station.
That's right.
You get answers like that.
Yes.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Final
you know,
question.
You're good. For the win.
Coming into today, which team leads baseball in team batting average?
Oh, you're going to be mad, Scrape.
How would you know this?
I'll just go with the Yankees.
The Yankees.
He's going to try the Yankees.
They've been hitting the ball around the park.
All right, the question here is, would you like me to get it wrong so that our first-time winner can win? I already wanted to be honest since I happened to looked at that
exact statistic today.
Why? Because I was looking up what the Padres' batting average was, and I saw that the Padres are tied for second
right now. Yes, they are. To who?
I believe they're 286, but the of all teams, the Cardinals are hitting 301. Sorry, Casey.
No.
I cannot tell a lie.
I like how you're like, that's not English, but you go, do I tell people, or do I do the right thing and let this person win, or do I do... The other thing,
well,
and tell everybody I know
I
it.
I feel bad when I win sometimes. These are first-time players. I like that they called, and I don't want to disappoint them. But I happened to honestly look that up before the show because I was trying to find out what the Padre team batting average was.
I believe you.
Bad luck.
We go to Mark in Encinitas. Hello, Mark.
Bad luck.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
All right, Mark.
Good luck for you, Mark, because that gives you an opportunity. So.
Here we go.
I'll take it.
That's a half glass full way of looking at it.
That's right.
I know.
Who's hit the most home runs in baseball this season? Player.
Oh, my God.
It's probably who you think it is, Mark. Don't overthink this one.
Judge.
There Aaron you Judge. Go. Aaron there Judge. He's go. Hit six. He's on top.
All right. Very second good. Question. Still has to do with home runs. Which Major League Baseball team leads baseball in home runs coming into today?
Ooh, geez.
Which team?
Yep.
I'll go with the Yankees.
Go with the Yankees.
Top Cubs.
There you go.
Don't
Yankees
overthink
up 25.
It. Padres are way down the list, by the way.
They are.
With only 8 home runs.
8?
Which says something about their offense, because they're still scoring a lot of runs without the home run.
That is correct.
Yeah. 8 home runs, 6 of them are solos. For the pods. So
all right. Here we go, Mark. You get this right, Chris gets it wrong, and you are going to be qualified for that trip to Las Vegas.
Good luck, Mark.
It's a very Thank random you, stat, but which American League team is the most saved games in baseball so far?
Saved games?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Which American League team has the most saves in baseball so far?
Saves, he yes. says.
Oh, my God. I'll say, I have no idea. Boston
could be.
So should have just gone with the Yankees for clean sweep.
Well, they're 8-2, so I'm gonna guess the Rangers. I don't know.
Ah!
Sorry. I mean, Mark. Good job, Mark. The problem with saves is it ties directly to victories. So I figured the team with the most victories would have the most saves. Sorry, Mark. All right, do a tiebreaker. We got a minute. Let's
all
get
right,
the
we're
tiebreaker.
Diaz. Elias Diaz.
Elias Diaz, our tiebreaker, okay? Tiebreaker,
yes.
Tiebreaker.
I need to get back to this. All right, let's go to Jason. Hello, Jason. Can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
All Hi, right, Jason. You're going to be playing the tiebreaker. Here's how it goes. You just stay right there. I'm going to ask Chris for an answer. He's going to give me a number, and then Jason's going to guess whether the actual number is higher or lower than what Chris said. We're doing Elias Diaz. I am going to
Elias.
Butcher his name. It's not Elias. I know that.
I'm looking at the pronunciation on Baseball Reference right now.
But Jesse Agler says something different, and I can't remember what he says.
It says right here, Elias.
But don't you think Jesse...
With the focus on the Lee, Elias.
Elias.
No, Elias. 2 E's. Elias.
All right.
I'm just saying that's what it says. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. How many home runs has he hit in his career?
He's Elias or Elias? He's hit 50.
50 home runs. Jason, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower.
Elias.
62
Elias
home runs.
Coming through.
62 home
boy, Elias.
Runs.
Good for you.
All right, let's go to our next contestant, Ulysses. Hello, Ulysses.
Oh, wow. Ulysses is trying to guess Elias. There's a
okay.
lot of stuff here.
Stay right there. Chris,
yeah.
How many doubles has he had in his career?
We didn't say how many years he's played, so that's always a little
all right,
help.
Well, he's appeared in 11 seasons.
11 seasons, about 10 per year. So what's that? 110.
110.
11 times
Ulysses,
10.
Ulysses, is the actual answer higher or lower than 110?
Let's say lower.
Lower. Hey, man, Elias is better than you guys think.
Yeah.
Elias made the All-Star team a few years ago. He was the All-Star Game MVP, as a matter of fact.
Was he really?
Yes, he had a home run in that game, and he won the MVP award. When he was with the Rocks.
All right, let's go to...
And remember, he played in Colorado, so as you know, he's probably put up a few numbers. Yeah.
All right, we're going to Brad. Hello, Brad.
Brad.
Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
Good
All
luck,
right,
Brad.
Stay
here
right
we go.
There, Brad.
Win it right now.
How many times... How many games has he played in his career?
In 10 years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. About half. 800.
800
times 10.
Games. Brad, is the actual answer higher or lower?
Lower.
Lower.
Oh, good. He got it. I thought it was going to be higher.
Nice job, Brad.
Stay on the line, Brad. here, Chris vs. the Fans. You could be going to Las Vegas one day. We'll do traffic and then...
731 games, by the way.
All right. Do you want to hold on?
Yeah, let's hold on for a second.
All right. Elias Diaz has had kind of an interesting... I'm looking at the pronunciation, okay? It's E-E, which is obviously E. And then the next part is capital, L-E-E, Lee, and then A-H-S, Oz. So Elias.
I mean, you are right. It does.
I'm looking right at
that. It does spell that.
It says Elias Diaz.
I just have never heard an announcer say it. So
well, we'll see if you know. I've gotten it wrong about 99% of the time this year because I try him all kinds of different ways.
Me too.
I'm looking at his career stat. I think you should have asked how many career stolen bases he had.
What? I didn't even look. What is it?
He's got two.
Really,
Elias doesn't run too often. All right, real quick, we haven't talked about it yet. We got a couple of minutes in this segment. Hats off once again, Scraby, to our MLS team.
Yes.
Keep on rolling, people. SDFC. And I mean, for soccer, I'm not overstating this. They blew out Seattle the other night, 3-0.
Yes, they did.
All three goals were scored in the first half. Honestly, except for the fact that the rules say you have to come out for the second half, there really wasn't much reason for Seattle to come out. Like, you're not scoring, you're not coming from three goals down in a professional soccer match. They're just not going to give you even that opportunity.
Not from what I've seen in my short MLS
right, me
watching
neither.
Career.
I mean, you got a three-goal lead, you're just going to... You know, you're going to keep a couple of guys back. You're
it's
just
like a 10-0 baseball lead.
Even more, I think.
Maybe
I
mean, even more.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Dodgers came from, what was it, 5-0? We've seen 8-0. Padres a couple times. 3-0 in soccer, that's game. And, you know, so I credit for Seattle. They came out and did play the second half. But
no good for them.
They didn't come any closer. The SDFCers are now, I just can't stand this, so I have to say it my way. They are 4-1-2-2. 4-1-2. I know they're listed as 4-2-1 because ridiculously the MLS standings put draws ahead of losses.
We can't be mad at a different sport.
The problem is it's confusing to the listener out there.
It's confusing to me.
Right. The listener is expecting me to say wins, then losses, then draw. And it goes the other way. So anyway, they got 4 wins. They only have 1 loss, 2 draws. They're now in second place, trailing only Vancouver in the West. Chucky Lozano scored his first goal, which is a big deal, coming back from the injury. He is the kind of the go-to guy for the SDFC. And they keep rolling with a victory the other day over Seattle. I didn't see the crowd, Scraven.
The crowd!
Was it sellout again?
Yeah, but the crowd was on fire.
Like they behaved on fire?
I believe they behaved. I didn't see any fight videos or anything, but the clips that I did see from the game, the crowd was going.
Through 7 games, SDFC is a +7 in goal differential that is tied with Vancouver for the best in the entire MLS. Way to go, Mikey Varis and those guys. Break time, traffic time. More Gwen and Chris coming up.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
A short segment.
Ourselves here often, Chris.
Well, we have a short segment here because we had the Chris vs. the Fans ran a tad long, and we got our Big Five coming up right at the bottom of the hour. A couple of quick things from the Final Four the other day. I know I don't think I'm the only one who felt this, but when they went to the coverage of the Final Four, and they were introducing, I think it was Florida and Auburn for the first game, and the guys were running out on the floor, and they were making all the big deal about it, and the anthem, and all the pomp and circumstances. You know me, Scrabe. I thought back to 2 years ago, and I was like, I still can't believe we were in that. seems like such a big deal.
Yeah.
And how San Diego State was even ever a part of it is like beyond me sometimes.
It is. That is crazy. The more I think about it, yeah, the more like it seems like it was a dream.
Yeah,
a little bit.
And not only were they a part of it, they won. Like, they didn't just show up.
Yeah.
They actually won the game.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
That's incredible. The other thing that I wanted to point out, and it's becoming a little more hard to believe now as we go along, but don't forget earlier this season, the Aztecs beat Houston. How?
I don't know either.
Houston's in the NCAA final and is
one
likely
seed.
And is likely, honestly, to win tonight. I think Houston. I think Houston could win for sure. Their other three losses this year were to Auburn, Alabama, and Texas Tech, all Elite Eight teams. And then the Aztecs beat them.
Tournament team,
right? But not Elite Eight status.
No, they were a first four.
So anyway, that's kind of one of the crazier things. The other thing I noticed in the Florida game the other day, I talked about Walter Clayton, how good he is for Florida. The other guard for Florida is also quite good. And he is, now that you were talking on the phone, so you threw
I forgot
me.
About our winner.
You forgot.
So
I forgot to get
and
our
they
winner.
Called
in
back. Thankfully, I completely forgot. Which
sorry
is my
about
bad.
That.
That's my fault.
No, it happens. It can happen. Yeah, we got to get to break. But the other kid for Florida, the other guard, and I can't find his name fast enough now. So, but he played for Florida Atlantic
really?
Against the Aztecs 2 years ago.
That
he
Florida
was in that
Atlantic
game.
Aztecs. Matchup had some talent in it.
It keeps coming back, doesn't it? The kid's name for Florida, watch him tonight. He's really good. Elijah Martin.
Ah, yes.
He is great, and he played against the Aztecs 2 years ago. So, anyway, a couple of final four notes. Our Big Five is next. If you're watching the game on TV and somebody runs across your screen headed out toward the left field fence, it's probably because they have to go potty.
Yeah, that is because they have to go potty.
Yeah, there's a clubhouse. The clubhouse is not in the dugout, behind the dugout anymore. It's out in the left field. So this is not a park you want to get ejected in. That's a walk of shame.
That is a walk
You're
of shame.
You're ejected at home plate. You have to walk all the way out to left field to get out of the ballpark. Sam Levitt's pregame at 6 o'clock. Game shortly after 7. Scoreboard check very quick. Washington 3, Dodgers 2 in the bottom of the third.
Boo.
What, you're rooting for the Dodgers? Washington's winning.
Oh.
3-2.
I'm a little stressed over here, so I'm hearing things backwards.
Yeah, Washington
right
ahead 3-2. The two runs for the Dodgers, though, Ohtani, fourth of the year, two-run shot. All right, we checking traffic or going right to today's Big Five? Scrape? You call it.
We're going, oh my gosh, I am panicked over here, Chris.
I don't like to hear that. Take a deep breath.
It's so
all is well
for pulling back the curtain. We now record some of our segments,
okay,
video wise. I have to put the video together and export it. I thought it was exporting over here this entire time, or loading to the internet, and it has just been spinning. So, audio only and no traffic. This is disappointing.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we got a ton of stuff to talk about in the Big Five. We're going to talk about Travis Hunter. We're going to talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But we're going to start with something that Mike Schilt has coined, and I absolutely love it.
Number five.
Grit Squad is what he's calling his team. And in 2023, Kevin Acey put this in his newsletter this morning. In 2023, all of us were trying to find the answer to the question about why the Padres could not win close games. Last year, they flipped the script, and it's been an entirely new team. In 2023, they came back to win 27 times. Last year, 38 times, and through 10 games this season, three times already. So, Chris, is it as easy as Mike Schilt being responsible for this turnaround? His microphone always goes wild. It's really funny to me.
This microphone has a mind of its own.
It does all the time.
I must say,
people finally get to see it too.
It's a very gritty microphone.
It's a grit squad microphone.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
I think Mike Schilt has something to do with it. I mean, I think you have to put the thought in everybody's head. It has to start somewhere. And I think that's a good place to start. You know, we're going to find a way to grind out these close games. Fernando said, you know, after the game yesterday, you know, it was a tough day. We had to find a way. We had to get out of town with a win. We had to figure it out. So, you know, I think there is something to it. The statistics certainly back it up. I mean, along with the numbers you gave, they've had 33 wins in the last year and a half or year plus when trailing in the seventh inning or later. Now, that means you're getting wins against people's closing, you know, relievers. So, I mean, you got to, that's really something. That's special. This year, they have 8 wins. 4 of them are in games that are either tied or they're trailing in the seventh inning or later. So, yeah, the stats are backing it up. But I think Mike Schilt, you know, put it in the minds of everybody. And I think everybody's run with it.
All right, Tony, would you say, is it as easy as to say Mike Schilt's responsible for this turnaround?
I wouldn't say it's as easy, but he's certainly a reason, a big reason why it's turned around. I mean, it's all the things that go into a team that can come back and win, right? I mean, it's an attention to the details, right? I mean, yes, it is his message and the things that he thinks makes for a good team and for give you your best chance. But, you know, it's then Victor Rodriguez then focusing in on situational hitting and forcing those guys to be aware of those situations and what to do in those situations and practicing those things. And so, yeah, I think it's not as easy as to say it's just Mike Schilt, but it's his way he sees the game and the way what he views as important are the things that you have to do that, you know, that help you win or come back and win those type of games. And so, yeah, he's a big reason why.
There's one more reason why they come back and win a lot of games. They have one of the best bullpens in baseball. And that means the other team is normally not scoring after the sixth or seventh inning, which gives them a chance these games. And if you look at this year, right, the bullpen's, I think, 1.66 team ERA from the bullpen. That is one of the other reasons why this works.
Yes.
Yeah. And on top of that, I mean, you've heard Mike Schilt actually say that he views the way you come back and win, he said this out of his own mouth, is being able to throw up zeros mm-hmm. after your team scores, which is what Chris is talking about. And that is that importance is then relayed and almost pounded in to the pitchers that you have on your staff, which comes from Mike Schilt, the way he views the importance of, or what is important to win those type of games.
I love Mike Schilt's, just whenever his team wins a tough game, you can just tell he's extra proud. In the post-game press conference last night, you can just hear it in his voice, because it was a great win yesterday.
I think so. It feels better to win games like that.
Yeah,
just
because you
general.
Know you can do it.
Yeah.
Number 4.
All right, the Blue Jays struck a 14-year, $500 million extension with their star, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., yesterday, according to The Athletic's Ken Rosenthal and everybody else in this world. The reported deal doesn't include any deferrals, and the deal is now the second largest in Major League history in present value, behind only Juan Soto's $765 million deal with the Mets. This puts Vlad Jr. in a Blue Jays uniform until 2039, in the ripe old age of 40 years old. So, Tony, is this contract too much, too little, or about right?
I mean, it's what it should be right now. I just point this out, right, because there's this narrative, you know, that, you know, these contracts are all bad. Just think when the Padres signed Toddy at the time, you know, that was talked about whether it was sustainable. and those type of things. You look back at that deal now and say it's probably right on course of what it should have been, right? And the value is playing out because you signed a guy that young and you get to live out all of his prime years. And so even when you get to the back end and maybe it's not as productive, you still, I would say, have gotten your money's worth when you are getting these guys, these young players, in their prime. And so the number now has grown since when was that Toddy signed that deal? Was it 19?
20? Oh gosh,
20.
Nobody complains. No, nobody complains about how much he makes anymore.
No, because it has, the Padres have gotten to live out his prime, and he's still in. He's, quite frankly, he's still literally, you could argue, has like 1 or 2 years into it at this point. So he is. We're still living that out. But I think right now, I'd say it's been about
2021.
2021.
February 22nd.
In 4 years, the market has moved up. Now, I will say, when you think of it in terms of what Soto got, what Ohtani got, I mean, I preference this by saying we're talking baseball money here. It's a nice drop off from where those two guys got. And so I would say he's right about where he should be in this particular case. It's a 14-year deal. As you said, you're going to get him into his 40s. But I think, given where we are, I think that's right about where it should be.
Yeah, Chris, what do you think? Is that too? Why are you smiling at me like you want to rip this contract apart?
I have a great answer.
Okay, too much, too little, or just right?
It's just right.
Yes.
The thing that Tony's brought it up, Fernando's contract the day he signed it seemed like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me?
Seems like a
steal.
But
now,
at this
how many
point?
People have moved past his contract and his looks like pretty normal? I imagine by 2039, when Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is done with this contract, the yearly average that he's getting paid will have him in the bottom half of how much star players are making. You know, it's just going to keep going up and up and up. So, you know, it's good for the team.
35.7 AAV.
Well, you know, in 2039, like I said, there'll be a bunch of guys making 50, probably, AAV.
Yeah, you never know.
So the 39 won't seem like much. You know, I like this contract for Toronto. It's good. And hopefully it'll keep Vlad quiet a little bit and he'll just go out and play.
Here's the other thing. Chris brings up a great point. Like, look where, you know, Mookie Betts' number is right now? I think it's like 325.
Yeah, yeah. We thought that was crazy.
We're
not crazy,
we were
but
like,
it was a
yo,
lot.
They're all crazy when the day they happen.
Right, exactly. And so, you know.
And
I personally like... This is a, in my opinion, this is something that the Padres organization started. Get their young guys, they sign up, you know, sign Toddy to that huge deal where you get all of the prime years while, you know, you're building around that a piece, right? And it's a piece that was drafted by that organization. And so those people get to live out, you know, and follow that. We said that when Toddy signed, right? Like, there's a segment of kids that are going to get to grow up with him, for the good and the bad, right? And so the same thing can be said for Vlad, right? You're going to get a chance. That city gets to grow up with him. Same can't be said for every one of these organizations. I don't know that the folks of Pittsburgh are going to get to grow up with Mr. Paul Skeens when it's all said and done, the way things look.
I was going to say something disparaging.
If the Pirates sign him to a contract through 2039, then we'll be shocked.
For $500 million?
Yeah. Then come to us for the question that day.
I'm sure that Scott Boras is somewhere grumbling because this wasn't a $1 billion contract. Did you hear all that about Scott Boras, Tony, kind of saying that the Jackson Merrill contract wasn't good?
He said the agent did a terrible job.
He said
and a disservice
didn't protect
to baseball.
And he didn't protect his client. And
Did we hear this audio?
It's not audio. It was in the Baltimore Banner.
Yes, that highly reputable.
I'm not familiar with the Baltimore
journalism.
Newspapers, but it looked, when I was clicking around, it looked legit.
Oh, here we go. You know what? I'm going to wait to comment until I hear some.
You want to see it somewhere else?
I need to see it. I need to see it. That seems like a very.
I think the Baltimore
opinion.
Banner is run by some eighth grade kids
okay,
in the outskirts
right.
of Laurel, Maryland.
You went last week with me, so
I don't know. I'm gonna elect to wait to see
the Baltimore
if I can
Banner.
Find that.
Highly reputable
yes,
news.
I'm sure.
Yes, their articles on crayons were great the other day.
On top of it.
Number three.
The reports are saying Travis Hunter is going to be taken number 2 overall by the Cleveland Browns on draft day, and many think he might be the most talented player in the draft. In fact, former Titans general manager Rand Carthon believes Hunter could be a day one starting quarterback while also contributing as a punt returner and occasional wide receiver, calling the soon-to-be rookie, quote, the biggest enigma this league has ever seen, end quote. Chris, is Travis Hunter the biggest enigma this league has ever seen?
Did you say the guy who said that is a former Titan personnel person? Yeah, well,
he kind of got ran out of town unfairly, I will say.
Well, I don't know. Maybe there's a reason he's a former Titan personnel guy.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't
this
trust
this is a scraby over
yeah,
here. The Titan
up
expert
yeah.
over here.
The only reason I know is because he came from the 49ers. And
I'm just saying the guy doesn't have a job, and now he's making big claims. I don't see it, so I'm going to say no. I don't see it. I see Travis Hunter as a pretty good cornerback. I don't see him contributing a ton as a wide receiver, at least not right away. Is he going to change the landscape of the National Football League? You know, there's obviously other people who don't agree.
That would be an enigma, right? If you change the landscape.
I guess so. If he's that great, I mean, then he should be the number one pick, no questions asked. But
does that enigma have, like, a negative connotation to it?
It can.
I thought enigma was, like, a code. Isn't that what the Nazis used, to be honest? You had to, like, break the enigma.
So glad you're bringing that up, Joseph Goebbels.
But wasn't there was a movie about that with Benedict Cumberbatch. The Imitation Game.
Fabulous movie. I don't know what it's doing in this conversation, though.
Enigma was a part of it.
All right. Well, I don't think Travis. I'm gonna bet no. I'm gonna bet that Travis Hunter does not change the face of the National Football League. I think this is an overreaction.
Okay. Enigma dictionary: a person or thing that is mysterious, puzzling, or difficult to understand.
There you go. So I think that
I don't know that he's difficult to understand.
Right. He's
puzzling.
If he returns punts and he's a cornerback. Deion Sanders did the same thing. This isn't like he'd be the only guy in the history of the league ever to come in and do this. And I don't think he's going to be a Deion. I don't.
Okay. Tony, is Travis Hunter the biggest enigma this league has ever seen?
He's not even close.
Ever seen. That's really high praise.
That was a quote.
I know. That from a guy that doesn't have a job for a reason.
Okay, you've already made that clear.
Not even close to the biggest enigma. I mean, I could argue Cordell Stewart was a bigger enigma in the league when he came in, because they didn't know what to do with him at first. So, I think my guess is he's going to be a cornerback that will occasionally get some splash. They'll try to use him on offense for decoy or to make a big play. I don't think he'll be having as many snaps both ways as he did in college. But I do think a team will draft him at corner, because his ball skills are nasty. I just don't know that. What happened here?
I know, I'm changing it for the next topic and I messed up. There we go.
I would just say that I think that at the end of the day, I lost my train of thought. What are we talking about again?
Travis Hunter.
Oh, yeah, Hunter. I just think I think he's going to be a great corner in the NFL. I just don't know that he is going to have to be able to put the time in it required to be a great wide receiver.
I wonder if he'll learn from Deion how to get out of the way of 350-pound pulling guards on sweeps, because he's 6'1", 185 pounds, soaking wet.
Yeah.
So, this is another aspect of Travis Hunter. He's not a physically imposing, athlete, at least not for the NFL level either. So he better be quick, and he better be shifty, and he better have great skills, because he's not going to do it with size.
Did you guys see the fake Travis Hunter that's been going around social media? It's a guy who basically looks exactly like Travis Hunter, and people at the gym think it's actually Travis Hunter. It's really funny, but
okay.
Fake Travis Hunter. Google that.
Number 2.
All right, so we talked about Jackson Merrill beating out the throw to second base last week against the Guardians. Well, a Durham Bulls player said, not so fast. Here's what happened over the weekend.
Late in the season, the team gets hot. Next thing you know,
first. Price only out is at first base. He tries to beat Simpson, and he doesn't. Chandler Simpson.
So Chandler Simpson has some base running, I guess, skills after he was able to get the first base on a routine ground ball to the first baseman. Now, anyway.
We got you.
Okay,
we got you.
Thank you very
much.
Move on. I'm trying to, like, run, like, seven different things at a time, so bear with me. Tony's up first. Is this a case of elite speed or lazy defense?
No, this is elite speed. Chandler
elite speed,
is,
okay.
No, I don't know if you know this. Chandler stole over 100 bases last year. I mean, this is...
I did not know this.
Yes, he is one of the top prospects for Tampa's organization. I actually had a conversation with him during spring training. He reached out through Buster only.
Wow.
And we had a conversation, but he's a good man. He's unique. He has a specific skill set. He's only had about like 800 professional at bats. Like, this is, I think, his third season playing pro ball. But he's already at the AAA level. This is not a case of lazy D. He has serious speed, and I won't be surprised if we see him at the big leagues here shortly.
Chris, elite speed or lazy defense?
Well, the first baseman was lumbering a little. He looked a little like me, trying to get unfurled there after picking up the ground ball.
Like unfolding a lawn chair.
He kind of picked up the ball. It took him a minute. But no, that was just he beat that play. I don't know about, guys like this are interesting to me. There's been incredibly fast guys that have come into Major League Baseball that have succeeded. There's been incredibly fast guys like Billy Hamilton. Do you remember this guy?
Tony Billy Hamilton,
outfielder for the Reds. He could tag up from second base and score on a fly ball to center field. I mean, he was just that fast. He'd speed around. But you got to do a lot of other things in baseball. Speed isn't the only thing. So, as Tony said, he's 24. He's working his way up. He's made a lot of progress. That was obviously showing off the speed for sure. You will see, if he can translate that to being a great baseball player.
Side note, when you tag up, you can have more than one base.
Welcome to the world, Scrape. Yeah, that's right.
I just have never seen anyone go tag up from second and go to home without like a bad throw or something. I mean, I thought you just have to get to the next base. Wow.
Well, you do have to get to the next base to be safe.
Of course.
But if let's say it's a deep fly ball, the outfielder catches it with his momentum going back toward left center field. Guy like Billy Hamilton, anyway, he could make it all the way.
All right.
It can happen.
I like
when you learn new stuff that you should know a long time ago.
I don't think I should have actually known that. It's not that I didn't know it. I just had never thought about it.
I love how he goes, really? You can tag and go up to two bases on one play?
I was thinking an error would help.
He was astonished by that.
He was pretty astonished.
I've never seen it. That's why
I'm
just saying.
The good thing is there's a break in the show coming up, and I'll find a video of it for you.
I don't even care.
Somebody please send him a video of a guy tagging up and scoring on a fly ball.
By the way, I'm also not an umpire, so I don't need to know these things, Chris.
Glasses in session.
I've watched basically 90% of Padre games for the last 8 years. Never seen anyone tag up on second and get to home before the throw came in. Never.
I have. I'm trying to rifle through my mind.
Billy Hamilton. I'll just Google him.
Google him. Okay. I'm trying to rifle through my mind and think of the factoid that you should have known last week. I don't think it had to do with baseball or sports.
No.
I made a mistake.
It was the fouled off bunt for third strike.
That was another one.
It was a brain gas bubble. I'm not going to say the actual
When I was complimenting Elias Diaz for getting that sacrifice bunt down with two strikes on the homestand. And I told Scraby, I said, because if he fouls it off, he's out. Scraby said, what?
Okay, I told you, brain cramp, okay? I knew that. Okay. I did know that.
Sure you did,
And I came clean about not... I came clean.
Number one.
So when they call a strike, you get three of those, right?
He just controls the board to go on to the next question.
Yeah, of course. He does
get himself out of it.
Well, I am angry at this next topic. Last week, one of the guys in my fantasy baseball league sent a group text asking about these little logos next to certain players on their team and jokingly asked, are these torpedo bats? Ha, ha, ha. We laughed. Thought it was funny, but because I'm the know-it-all that I am, I said, no, those are just guys currently at bat. Woke up yesterday, checked my fantasy lineup, and was hit in the face with this alert. MLB players using torpedo bats are now marked with a new icon. Keep an eye out for the torpedo bat icon when managing your team. And so then I went to my lineup, and there, the guy I was playing had four torpedo bats in the lineup. Chris, has this torpedo bat thing gone way too far?
Not yet.
What's next?
I don't know. I mean, this is going to go away. This is going to go away.
I mean, we've never had Yahoo Sports add a torpedo bat logo.
They didn't know. They didn't know when we were using different bats.
So they're basically
now they know.
They're putting an icon next to players that use the torpedo bat now, so that you know this.
It looks like a fat bat, really.
Okay. And what difference does it make? Like, how does it affect the game?
I don't know. I saw some guy hitting in the cages one the other day, Chris, and he said his sweet spot was way bigger.
Well, I guess.
Wait. In what cages?
The batting cages. It wasn't like, a pro. Well,
like in the pros?
No, it was one of those guys who goes around, like, has hitting competitions against pros. Like, he's done it against Ali Rutschman. I can't remember what they're called, but anyway, Chris.
This is the first rule that Major League Baseball has allowed that has been beneficial to offense that I can think of in a long, long time. Almost every advancement in the game of baseball has been there to favor pitchers. In terms of, you talk about what is the Padres have the school in Point Loma where these guys
the pitching
go.
Lab.
The pitching lab.
Biomechanics, all of the angles, all of the pressure points, everything. And the fact that pitchers only go 5-6 innings now and that you have to face three or four different pitchers every game. Hitters have not had any advancement that I know of in years and years and years. Let baseball score another couple of runs. You still got to hit the ball well. I don't think the torpedo bat matters that much.
What does this have to do with Yahoo Sports putting it up?
Well, I think that's ludicrous, but that's what their website wants to do, so good for them. It's not going to make me sign up for their website or play their fantasy baseball because they do it.
Tony?
It's a nice factoid, I guess.
Have we gone too far?
Scraby? No, we haven't gone too far. I think we are doing nothing that different.
No. I'm saying has like the public gone too far at this torpedo
bat
thing?
Listen. Yeah, maybe the public has because they don't understand it. I think Yahoo is only reacting to what the public is asking for. They want to know who's swinging these torpedo bats for whatever reason. I think most people think that somehow it's something nefarious, but it isn't. And some guy using it. Listen, you might have an argument if you looked in every major league lineup and all nine guys were using a torpedo bat. That's just not going to be the case. Some guys, as Aaron Judge said, they like the weapon that they already have. They don't need another one. And that's okay. They're both fine. Whether you want to try it, whether you don't want to try it, all good. It's still within the framework of where Major League Baseball had the parameters of a barrel anyway. So
I think every probably fantasy website is trying to do something to differentiate itself from the next fantasy website. Yahoo came up with this thought. Well, if we put a torpedo bat icon, it'll make it somehow cooler.
Proud to say, none of my guys use a torpedo bat.
Would you cut somebody if they did?
No.
There you go.
Depends on who it is.
No, you would.
I wouldn't think about
Volpe,
it.
Volpe, Jazz Chisholm, Ellie De La Cruz and Adley Rutschman last week, all who went crazy with those stupid torpedo bats who have a stupid name. When we get back, we have a full hour before the A's and Padres play up there at that beautiful Sutter Home Health Park. I'm not sure if that's the name. We'll be back with more on 97.3 The Fan.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.